With your help, we can continue to fight for freedom. This is not possible without your generosity. Join our quest for the truth and our freedom. Simply visit www.realitycheck.radio/donate to make a difference today.
It's time for the political panel. And I want to welcome the original crew back to our panel today. Olivia Pearson. Hi, Olivia.
Oh, hello, Paul. Good to be here.
How does it feel to be back?
It's very uplifting.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, I feel good about it.
Cam Slater.
Good to be back. Had the first show last night. And, yeah, it's looking promising for the next few weeks as well with some guests that I've got lined up.
Any more on facial recognition of mice?
That was dear old Lindley. She was hard case in the buddies last night, yeah.
Yeah. And Marty Gibson. Hi, Marty.
Hi, how you doing?
I'm good. Like I said, it's good to be back. There's a song awesome. Called that, but we can't play it because of the artist and what he's done in his life.
Yeah.
Didn't go near that one. All right, so let's get right into it. I had Dr. Guy Hatchard on the program on Tuesday when we kicked off again.
Yeah.
And we were talking about, and he did a piece on the hatchardreport.com lead story this week. The Labor government deliberately gaslit the New Zealand public via Five Eyes. This is a scandal. It's a scandal, isn't it?
It's appalling. I heard your interview with Guy Hatchard, and it was very interesting. And basically, the Daily Telegraph wrote an article where there'd been a FOIA request to the United States. And Mike Pompeo, when he was Secretary of State, shared with the Five Eyes Network that the COVID-19 disease was most likely a lab leak and not of natural origin as part of China's bioweapons program. And what makes this so scandalous is that that intelligence was shared by Pompeo with the Five Eyes Networks, of which New Zealand is, of course, a part, between October and December of 2020. So given that we are part of the Five Eyes, our government should have given that information to us as citizens. But meanwhile, during that time, Jacinda and her very corrupt administration continued to push the narrative that it was a disease of natural origin. And then only 1 month after, a paper with a long, clunky name, which was released by Te Pūnaha Matatini, a tertiary academic research center. The paper was designed to access the impact of unreliable and or untrustworthy narratives and their sources at the height of the COVID pandemic.
That was Sean Hendy who was part of that, wasn't he? He was part of the inner group of Ardern's little helpers that helped spread their own misinformation while decrying misinformation themselves.
And Kate Hannah.
Oh, yeah.
Is also part of that. So no surprises.
Susie Wiles.
And as Mr. Hatchard wrote, the paper specifically labelled any suggestion that the virus came from a biolab in China or that the Chinese government or military were involved as xenophobic misinformation and a conspiracy theory. The paper further said that these ideas were anti-science and linked with conservative political ideology and propaganda. If people want to read about this, they can go to the Hatchard Report because Guy writes about it clearly there. I read that paper from Te Pūnaha Matatini, and it is saturated with really heavy propaganda that we know dominated our government's view, which was pushed out relentlessly through all our media organs, our bribed media organs, and they always asserted that the virus was of zoonotic origin. But not only that, the paper actually identifies by name as high-profile narratives, Elon Musk, Donald Trump, Mike Hoskins, Billy Takahika, Vinnie Eastwood, Jamie Lee Ross, and Jerry Brownlee.
Mm. So, I'm a bit sad that I'm not in there.
One of those things is not like the other.
Yeah. well, and now he's Speaker of the House. So anyway, the Five Eyes report, which Mike Pompeo shared, should have been announced by our media in 2020, but instead it was hidden. And the administration just continued with the lie of zoonotic origin and said everything else was a conspiracy theory. I mean, what a wench.
Well, they gaslit us right from the get-go.
Yeah.
Right from the get-go, they gaslit us.
But even Scott Morrison, PM of Australia at the time, who, you know, I don't rate that highly, but I think quite a decent man, but caught in the whole political panic of COVID, by July 2021, he was calling for an official inquiry into the origins of the virus because he's also part of Five Eyes, so took that information seriously. And he kept saying that we're not going to rule out a lab leak, whereas Ardern, with her great love of censorship and lying, did no such thing, and she just labelled such a narrative as disinformation while she pushed actual malinformation on the New Zealand public, remembering that that's information intended to deceive, harm, and manipulate Kiwis.
That's all she did.
I've got a question. Is it possible that the Five Eyes, our Five Eyes guys, didn't tell them?
No.
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 I don't believe that's possible. Because Pompeo and Trump had been, remember, at the end of 2019, the beginning of 2020, they had negotiated really, really hard with China for a deal which was very favorable to America, and China sort of dragged their feet on it. And China being the most difficult financial negotiators in the world by a long shot, I mean, they're tough. But Trump got a lot of what he wanted from that deal. And I remember thinking, what will the Chinese do with this? And then, bang, we got COVID.
Okay. You think there's a synchronicity there?
Yeah, I do. And I think Trump believes that too, because he always says he likes to boast about that deal, but he says he after COVID, he could never look at the Chinese in the same way anymore.
It's interesting that they used, you know, I looked at that bit you read where it said the paper further said these ideas were anti-science and linked with conservative political ideology and propaganda. And before that, it said, suggestion that it was the Chinese government or military was xenophobic, misinformation, and a conspiracy theory. It's like when a hypnotist says, I will say these words and you'll go to sleep.
Mm.
You know, just like puts them all in there. And as I said, you know, in our opening chat, Paul, you know, all of those words have their agents, their origins in intelligence agencies.
Yeah.
You know, misinformation and, I mean, there's been some great interviews with Mike Benz. I find that guy fascinating.
Yeah, I've had him on my show.
Yeah, he's brilliant.
Yeah, he's saying, look, AI-controlled internet censorship and the agencies controlling social media is here. Mm. You know, during COVID, they were shutting down any discussion of all of these different topics, you know, such as they've done it with the safety of mail-in voting was a big one, that they shut it down.
It's the language of the blob, isn't it, Marty?
Yeah,
we should call it blobbying.
So, you know, what this article, the wider, you know, if we zoom out, it's harder and harder not to confront the idea that Ardern's just an asset.
Mm.
Yeah. But where are the others? Where are the whistleblowers? Where are the colleagues of conscience who say, sorry, you're the boss, but we can't live with this. I'm sorry.
Well, the person we really need to ask is Andrew Little. He was the minister for GCSB at that time, and they would have had to have briefed him under the Five Eyes information. So Andrew Little's the keeper of the secrets.
Wow. What have they got on him?
He's been to an island somewhere.
Well, they pick these people to do these things because they've got the propensity to be a bit narcissistic and follow the script.
Useful idiots.
Yeah, they can tell them, hey, you're really doing a good thing there. And then they go, oh, yeah, I'm really doing a good thing.
It's very corrupt. And I hope that Winston has something to say about this at some point.
This can't be the end of what we're talking about, surely. Can't be the end of it.
No, I hope not. I mean, not that we now have him as Foreign Affairs Minister. I mean, this...
But there's something criminal about this, it seems.
There is, but we're starting to see now the things that we were talking about and labelled conspiracy theorists. You know, we were saying you know, these vaccines cause blood clots, and then those blood clots then go on to cause lots of other things. And hello, what do we find out this week? AstraZeneca has pulled their so-called vaccine from worldwide sales because we didn't tell you, but it has this very rare thing that it causes blood clots, and you know, a few people have died. It's very rare, but a few people have died.
Well, notice the very rare.
It's actually thousands have died.
A few people. What did Ashley Bloomfield say? A few people have had an unfortunate experience.
Yeah.
But so that's actually the other thing that Guy pointed out in that article, and said to you too, Paul. It was not just that that Ardern had this, but she also failed to inform Kiwis about the Pfizer list, another result of the court order to get that FOIA, which was the list of the adverse myriad of vaccination adverse effects, some of them very, very, very serious.
Unfortunate.
Yeah, and so right when that came out, that was 2021, in the middle of that, Ardern's administration was busy here doing vaccine mandates across the board and telling us that we were all totally safe and effective.
And at the same time, banning ivermectin and quercetin and lots of other things that you can take in vast quantities with no harm whatsoever.
Yeah. So I'm still struggling to work out why these people.
So it's malevolent.
This is evil at work, right?
Yeah, it is. It's malevolence.
So these people are possessed by some demonic thing.
That's why I say to use Blobian. It's malinformation because it was intended to deceive and to harm and to manipulate us.
And it did.
That comment
that you repeated just before about conservative political. That's weapon. That's a weaponization.
Anti-science
right
linked
there
with conservative political ideology and propaganda. I mean,
what's the opposite of conservative? Progressive, and the progressive agenda is it's a Luciferian agenda essentially. Mm. It's the idea that mankind can think our way through experts out
it's
of.
Quite, it's quite interesting. You use the term Luciferian. Susie Wiles. Some of her patents and some of her discoveries are named Luciferian
Luciferase or something, aren't they?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, if it walks like a duck, quacks like one, does whatever, craps like a duck, it is, right?
It's quite a horror to think that, all of these people fronting up to their doctor with these terrible symptoms after 2021 and being told by their GP, you're probably depressed or it's in your imagination or something like that.
Yeah, it's in your head. It's anxiety.
Because those doctors, firstly had been threatened by the Ministry of Health that if you contradict us, you're going to lose your registration.
Mm.
And then 2 weeks later, after that happened, you had Jacinda Ardern on television saying, actually, you should probably ask your GP because they know you the best. These GPs, I've just threatened not to tell you the truth.
And she knew that.
Yeah, but that's impossible for most people to comprehend. As I said, the people who are saying, I don't believe in conspiracy theories, it's just that when I say these words, you'll fall into a deep sleep. they don't study the theories or the ideas.
You've hit on something, Marty. I think
they don't look at them.
That there's something that feels like hypnotism here. Mm. I mean, I've seen these hypnotists doing their shows, and they play a bit of music, and some guy runs up, puts another tie on, and by the end of the evening, he's got 40 of them on. He doesn't even realize. That's sort of what has happened, but there's no one to click the fingers at the end of the show.
There's no back in the room here, Paul.
I mean, nobody could possibly go to sleep to Jacinda's quacking voice, but it was all just a mass formation psychosis, wasn't it?
Well, that's what Robert Malone called it, mass formation psychosis, i.e. they were hypnotized, brainwashed, gaslit into believing that which isn't true.
Yeah, gaslit and brainwashed, being operative there, I think, yeah.
This may be one of the greatest scandals, this particular part of it.
Well, I mean,
taken as a whole, it's the greatest bit of menticide ever imposed on the largest group of people, and it's ongoing. The fact that with all the information that's available now, and the health outcomes we're seeing, that people aren't out in the street with pitchforks and flaming torches, is...
Well, they might yet still be, I feel.
Well.
Well, what do you reckon?
Well, there are people out there who still believe what's being pushed on the advertising on the radio stations. I know of a health practitioner who just this morning was treating somebody who had looked like pre-stroke issues that were occurring. And they were questioned and asked about, you know, are you vaccinated? Are you vaccinated for COVID? Oh, yes, and I just had my... I just had my flu vaccine this morning as well. Well, they were actually in the process of having a stroke when they were talking to the health practitioner, and wow. it was that health practitioner's fast intervention on pre-stroke interventions that stopped her actually progressing to a full stroke. But that's they've been told, oh, you get it, go and get your flu vaccine. So on top of all the other stuff, you go and jab that one into your arm as well. You know,
and people are still going back for the other one.
Yeah,
and some are going back after having a bad result from the first two. They're going back.
Unbelievable.
How does that happen?
No
idea.
Well,
it's on them. I mean, you start to lose sympathy, don't you?
Yeah, well, I do.
Sympathy's in the dictionary.
Okay, so I think that one, that's got a bit to run. Do you think what we've just been talking about? There's no way anyone should be able to get away with that.
The problem I see with it is that it's too big for people to.
I'm talking about the briefing.
You know, it's too big. I mean, you think about that.
But Paul, it's not in the mainstream media, is it?
No, it's not in the mainstream media, and the politicians don't want to deal with it because it's too big.
Well, no, right. Donkey deep in it. That's what I was saying.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, exactly right. But that's the problem that we've got when you've got a. It's like people who work in a bank and they steal $1 million and everyone thinks, oh, they stole $1 million. Well, someone who works in a bank, $1 million is about, they actually think about it like this. Oh, it's 10 stacks of hundreds. $1 million is tiny.
Or if you're in Iran and you say it's actually only $100,000.
Yeah, exactly. But you know what I'm saying, right? It's the idea that all of these governments lied and gaslit us is enormous in terms of where that goes, that people can't comprehend it. They just can't, and they don't want to, because it's like if you peel that layer back, well, what else have they lied to us
about? At the same time, we all knew, because we were slightly behind that timeline, that there were these horrible effects. Robert Malone, who you mentioned, inventor or co-inventor of mRNA, was ringing the bells, the warning bells, so loud, if you knew where to go and hear them. There was a lot of information. So they knew that it was likely a lab leak. You could probably extrapolate from that it could be a weapon, therefore, because it has CCP military involvement. But they also knew...
Not just the CCP.
Well, the US too.
You had the US, the CDC involved in this.
Yeah, absolutely.
And the US military. So... it's not just the Chinese. Fauci was deeply embedded in all of this.
And you knew that it was, well, killing people. Yet you made it go ahead like you wanted people to die.
Mm.
Well, there are other things as well.
Am I missing something?
Well, yeah. I mean, the missing thing for me is always, where did the flu go in all this? You know, fact that people just swallowed, oh, the flu that, you know, used to kill 400 people a year or something just disappeared. Now they were all COVID deaths.
Yeah, remember too that the bioweapon, the beginning of that bioweapon was the actual disease, which of course many people, including Mike Yeadon, now doubt even exists. But yeah, I don't agree with that, because how do you explain
that?
Well,
a compelling case for it.
How do you explain the spike protein?
Well, there's spike proteins in coronaviruses. It's what they call coronaviruses.
But they have to latch on to a particular receptor, don't they? This design.
But I was going to say, but the main part of the bioweapon, of course, aspect is the vaccine.
What was the vaccine?
Yeah, which also came from China.
Yeah. I mean, it probably pays to, you know, I mean, it's good to have the discussion, but, you know, you could, for me, the big thing is we should have the discussion. You know, yeah. I mean, it's not like I'm saying, hey, this is what I think and it's right. It's like, how come we're not having the discussion? How come it's not in the media? How come it's not in Parliament?
Well, we know that. We know why, though, Marty, because, you know.
That's the entrechamber.
Brilliantly dastardly planned.
And corrupted and captured and controlled.
Wouldn't you say? Brilliantly, what did I just say? Dastardly plan.
Is that your Baldrick? Are you quoting Baldrick?
Maybe I am now that you mentioned it. I don't know where that came from, but it does seem a very well executed.
If you believe David Martin, I mean, he always makes the case that this was in play for a long time.
Well, the patents were there decades ago.
To quote Baldrick, it's a plan so cunning you could put a tail on it and call it a weasel.
Yeah,
that wasn't Baldrick. That was Blackadder.
Oh, was it Blackadder?
Yeah.
Baldrick is in Blackadder. That's where Baldrick comes from. It's Blackadder.
But Blackadder said that about the plan so cunning you could pop a tail on it and call it a weasel.
Oh.
I like the episode when he got the turnip. You know,
shaped like a thingy. A turnip.
That was the big payoff.
I like when he said Baldrick said to Blackadder, "I've got some savings, that I'll contribute to the pot." And Blackadder just says, "Found it, nicked it, spent it."
Yeah.
All right, let's move on. That's a shocker. Let's move on. Winston Peters made two foreign policy speeches in the first week of the month, one on China, one on sort of broadly more our place in the world. Who wants to talk about that?
I'll talk about that. I'll take that. So Winston delivered his speech to the New Zealand Institute of International Affairs, the annual lecture titled Challenges and Opportunities. I'd say challenges is a bit of an understatement. Much of it was about Pillar 2 of AUKUS, which he says New Zealand has not actually been formally invited to yet. And he's receiving a lot of heavy criticism from David Parker and Helen Clark and all the Labourites who are saying this is a betrayal with the coalition government. Yet Winston points out that they were the ones who actually insisted and initiated the involvement in the discussions and the exploration of AUKUS, Pillar 2 included. For people that don't understand it, and it's hard to get your head around, but the Trilateral Security Pact is what AUKUS is between Australia, the UK, and the United States, and it's there to contain the influence of China in the Indo-Pacific region.
Don't say Indo-Pacific. I hate the term. Please don't say it. It's an invented, nuanced term to connect us to people we shouldn't have anything to do with it. Just
that's that guy that you've been speaking to getting inside your
brain. No, I said that, and he agreed.
And Indo-Pacific is a perfectly good term to describe that region. What should I say? The Asia-Pacific. Would that satisfy you?
Whatever.
Pillar 1 is the building of nuclear-powered but not nuclear-armed submarines, and Pillar 2 is all about the high-tech defence information sharing, including AI and quantum computing. China doesn't want New Zealand to be involved in it at all. It prefers us to be...
Wait, on quantum computing, we haven't even got there yet.
Well, I would say they've probably other people
ahead of where we think they are.
Yeah,
of course.
Yeah,
The Chinese don't want us involved in that because they're doing it.
Yeah, and they prefer us. You know, I mean, they want us to be independent, of course, for obvious reasons, so that we.
I think they mean weak.
I think we should be. Just say
they mean a sheep in sheep's clothing, as Winston Churchill might say. That's what they'd like us to stay like that. But there's a Cold War mentality brewing between China and Australia, and they don't want us involved in that, the Chinese, that is, simply because Australia takes a far more active approach in criticizing China's hegemony in the Pacific. So no decisions have been made regarding being part of AUKUS, but we'd be mugs not to explore it. Australia happens to be our closest ally in both geography and culture, and, of course, the whole ANZAC alliance. So that's AUKUS. Does anyone else have anything to say about that before I move on to the Ukraine?
Well, of course, that sparked Bob Carr, who was the former foreign minister for Australia, and I looked it up before coming on the show. He was the foreign minister for precisely 1 year.
Right, before is that all?
1 year. He was the Australian foreign minister for precisely 1 year. Before that, he was the ratbag premier of New South Wales, mired in corruption allegations and scandals, along with multiple other members of the unions and the Labor Party at the time. So he, of course, came out. He was invited here by the Labor Party to come and do a speech against AUKUS, so that, you know, if we joined AUKUS, then that would ruin our nuclear-free legislation, our nuclear-free credentials. There's no suggestion that we're even going into AUKUS in Pillar One at all. It's just a beat up by the Labor Party. Of course, Helen Clark is donkey deep in this. Mm. But there was Bob Carr slagging off Winston Peters, slagging off the New Zealand government, talking about a betrayal and all of this sort of stuff. So Winston, naturally, someone who's been involved in foreign affairs for decades, not 1 year, decades, says, well, you know, we don't want to listen to a Chinese shill. And, yep. And of course, the Labor Party then leapt on that, said this is a diplomatic incident, even though Bob Carr's retired. He's even retired all of his Chinese shill jobs that he was paid hundreds of thousands of dollars to promote Chinese interests. And, of course, Winston then stood up in the parliament the next day and then read out the headline of the Australian Financial Review article about Bob Carr that called him a Chinese puppet. So Bob Carr is threatening to sue Winston Peters on the basis he called him a Chinese shill.
Yeah, for defamation.
For defamation. And Winston Peters is going, go for it. Love it. Go for it. So,
yeah, because you know, half of the Australian media would back up Winston's view, wouldn't it?
Well, you know, he's not called Beijing Bob for nothing.
Beijing Bob.
Yes, that's what they call him in Australia. The Australian media call him Beijing Bob.
So yeah,
there've been a lot of sales of strategic assets to Chinese companies that have origins in the CCP. There's a port up in the north of
Darwin, I think.
Darwin. I think there's you know, all sorts of stuff like that. In the same
They didn't need to sell it or lease it out, though. Yeah. It was their choice.
Oh, other Chinese companies are buying parts of Texas next to big military bases for wind farms.
Yeah, but they don't have to sell it to them, right?
Well, I mean, if
we're
saying we're free trade and we're going...
Not free trade. They do whatever they want.
We've seen a change in New Zealand politics over the last 20 years or so. And, you know, Dad was the president of the National Party. Before that, he was the Auckland regional chair. He used to get phone calls. I remember as a kid, the phone would ring and it was some Asian-sounding guy. Now, people rang Dad all the time with Asian-sounding voices. He dealt with Korea and Japan and things like that. So I just, here you go, Dad's phone. It was the Chinese ambassador. And he was ringing Dad up to tell him to go and tell some cabinet ministers that they need to pull their head in over Taiwan and not mention this. And Dad just politely told him, we live in a democracy and we'll do as we please. And thank you for your call, and hung up on the guy.
And that's exactly how they should be treated.
And that's exactly.
Is there anything wrong with trying, though?
There isn't. But go forward a few years, we've got some Chinese MPs that are in there that aren't there anymore because they've all, you know, miraculously disappeared in funding scandals, et cetera. Then you had John Key creepily crawling and sucking up to Z all the time. The only time you hear from him now is in Herald articles promoting the interests of China. And at the same time, he was instructing his MPs not to go to the Taiwanese annual celebration of their founding day. Because, you know, we don't want to insult China, and we've got this free trade agreement. Everyone says, oh, we don't want to put trade at risk with China. But here's the thing. The Chinese aren't our friends. They're never going to be our friends. They use trade as a weapon, and you only have to look at places like Fiji, the Solomon Islands, Vanuatu, to see the pernicious way that the Chinese get into small economies and cripple them by subsidizing or building key infrastructure and then wanting to own it. And they're doing the same here, and they're quietly getting themselves involved in New Zealand agritech companies, grabbing the IP, taking it back to China, and then we're now competing against the very people that we're supposed to have a free trade agreement with.
Well, why are we stupid enough to do it?
Well, it's bending the knee in the pursuit The craven pursuit of supposedly a free trade agreement with one of the largest economies in the world when it's neither free nor real trade.
It's cowardice. I mean, I've spoken about this before. The only time I've ever seen Jacinda Ardern run was away from the lectern when someone asked her a question about all these people who are being disappeared out of Hong Kong after the uprising. She ran. I've got to go. Ran. And, you know, that's where Winston Peters got his dig in saying that we take our security responsibilities as seriously as they once did.
Mm. yeah. And they're disappearing in Hong Kong still today, all the time.
Yeah.
Every day.
What people have got to understand is that a deal with the Chinese is not a contract. It's a deal for as long as it suits the Chinese, and then when it no longer suits them, the deal's off the table.
Yeah. But okay. Getting back to Winston's speech, again.
Ukraine.
He was very pro-Ukraine in the speech, which I have to say bothers me a bit. But New Zealand is
too.
Yeah, New Zealand is so irrelevant anyway in this European conflict, so I'm not losing any sleep over that. But what's happening in the Ukraine seems to be more akin to depopulation with a view to being rebuilt by the same technocrats who invented the idea of smart cities. And I think that Ukraine will become, they want Ukraine to become a smart country. And I think it's deeply foolish for NATO to continue making war with nuclear-armed Russia. And I note there's been huge happenings this week with Europe and between Europe and Putin, that France and Macron have been humiliated, Macron for his hawkishness and threats to send French troops to the Ukraine.
As if that means anything.
Well, what, so they can run backwards.
No. That's right. Yeah.
Teach the Ukrainians to march backwards.
That's actually an unfair criticism of France and the French army. But anyway, we'll talk about that another time. But not that I hold any great love for the French army. But Putin told him back in February that if he did that, put troops into Ukraine, that they'd meet the same fate as Napoleon's army in 1812. Arguably, it wasn't Russia who defeated Napoleon. It was the Russian winter. But that aside, some sources are saying that it looks like the French Foreign Legion is in there already. And from what I've read, those sources are coming from Substack writer Stephen Bryan, who happens to be a former Deputy Undersecretary of Defense and a writer for the Epoch Times, the Washington Times, and multiple other papers. He's also an expert in security strategy and technology. He's not a stupid man. But so he's saying the French Foreign Legion have already been deployed. And I think that's true. And Macron's threats to send in the Legionnaires and the French army earned him great embarrassment by the other NATO allies, like Olaf Scholz, who made him walk it back. And then David Cameron,
backwards like the French.
He wasn't walking it back. He had to march it backwards.
He had to. But then David Cameron also made really silly remarks to Reuters last week, saying that Ukraine has the right to use British-supplied weapons to strike Russia inside its own territory. So the UK ambassador Nigel Casey and his French counterpart in Moscow were summoned by the Kremlin on Monday and got a dressing down over their country's massively provocative threats. And then Russia not only issued a strong response, and Russia said that if Britain or France did either of these things, Russia will target British military bases inside the UK and their armies around the world in retaliation. And Russia started doing tactical nuclear weapon exercises, which freaked everybody out. And Dmitry Peskov, the Kremlin spokesman, said the drills were a direct result of Macron's rhetoric. And then, it's a huge thing. The fact check machine went into full gear to call Stephen Bryan's claims about the French Foreign Legion being in the Ukraine fake news, which I would say probably makes him bang on. And with his assessments, and his article seems to have rocked everybody, because suddenly Italy, who have been rather silent on the whole war up until now, states that it has no plans to send troops to the Ukraine and have ruled it out. Poland made a similar statement saying that they were not sending troops and had no plans to do so. And then the United States said that they recognize Putin as president of the Russian Federation and that no American troops will be sent to the Ukraine.
They're winning. The Russians are winning.
So that was a classic example of Putin calling the bluff of two major Western leaders, and it sent shockwaves through the other NATO countries.
You know, the funny thing is that when Winston was talking about that, of course, Helen Clark piped up and talked about how, you know, we need to have this independent foreign policy, like when I was prime minister, you know, and we didn't fall for the US and British spin about, you know, Iraq, and we didn't have any troops in Iraq. Well, that was a lie.
Right, well, I know for a fact that we've been sending people over to that theater to train them, radar operators,
Before that, there was a fair number of operators from the squadron that was seconded to the British military, who were then deployed to Iraq. So that was
We did it that way.
They weren't wearing New Zealand badges, but they were Kiwis. They were sent there. Yeah, Helen Clark knows they were too. So, you know, she's the Darth Sidious of New Zealand politics, really.
Oh, she just needs to go away and just be quiet.
Winston Peters, in one of those speeches, I think the one to the not the China, the one on China, seemed to he talked about Russian aggression.
Yeah,
We were siding. You know,
yeah, he did.
It's like COVID. If you look back at the sort of like the journey to the point, it's not as simple as someone being just aggressive and wanting to take over the world. They've been provoked.
Oh, well, NATO has been extremely aggressive.
So what do you damn well expect? You know.
Well, I mean, and Putin's line was always the same since the Maidan Revolution, where, you know, Obama's administration, you know, changed the government in Ukraine, which was, you know, a blob, CIA
government.
Yeah.
Where they got, was it?
Yeah, and who was donkey Lukashenko? Deep in that? Who was donkey deep
Lukashenko,
in that?
Yeah.
Biden
and Obama. Yep.
Yeah, and his son is in that. They're up to there.
Yeah. There's something so sinister about everybody's interest in Ukraine. It's not obvious. Well, and then there's the bio labs. So
And they've been practicing all of their digital IDs. Ukraine was one of the early adopters of that. It is a focal point, and so is Holland for Belt and Road stuff. And you know, again, so
you made the comment, Marty, that, you know, the plan is for Ukraine to be a smart country, but in order to have a smart country, you need to have a dumb leader.
You need to have a population as well.
No, I see that, Cam. But they are, this smart country thing, I mean, they've got, I've seen videos and everything about their plans for Ukraine, and it's probably, you know, they'd pioneer the Great Reset there, but first they've got to depopulate it.
And well, 500,000 young men have already been depopulated, it seems.
I noticed in Winston's speech, he said this, a quote, "We take the world as it is, and this realism is a shift from our predecessors' vague notions of an indigenous foreign policy that no one else understood, let alone shared." Now, he is almost directly quoting Trump doctrine in that.
Yeah.
Mm. Trump doctrine. Doctrine which Mike Pompeo implemented and spoke at length about when Secretary of State said Trump doctrine was titled principled realism. We look at the problem set as it is, not how we wish it were to be.
Yeah.
If you read between the lines and the other stuff he's saying, there's some pretty alarming stuff there. He's saying we see three big shifts in the international order from rules to power. So, you know, the rules-based, you know, world is going to break up.
Right.
Economics rules, to security. So we're going from trading to military stuff and from efficiency to resilience, which means, well, your trade lines could get cut and you could have some supply chain.
You mean like only 21 days of fuel left if you're New Zealand?
But he's absolutely right, because there's always been power, right? We had the British Empire, we've had, you know, US power, the strongest military in the world, essentially. Then we went to a sort of a rules-based motherhood and apple pie stuff that Helen Clark subscribes to, and it's just rubbish, right? Power has always been at the core of anything. What we're seeing now is these massive blocks. You've got Russia, of course. You've got Iran. You've got India, you've got China. You've got, you know, the United States, the Great Britain and Canada on the other side, with Australia and little old New Zealand stuck between everybody. We cannot survive trying to play one side off against the other.
We should pull back though, Cam, shouldn't we?
But we're so isolated. What do we do? Do we tug our forelocks and get down on one knee and kiss Chinese ass?
No, we don't need to do that.
Or do we work closely with the people that we've always worked closely with? And
can't trust them, Cam.
You can't trust anybody.
But Paul,
you sure as hell can't trust the Iranians, the Chinese, the Russians, or the Indians.
No,
you can't trust any of them, and you can't trust
anyone. So the only thing you can do is treat everyone as untrustworthy and deal with it that way.
And if you have that position, then you have to be like Switzerland, which is armed to the teeth.
Yeah, I don't mind that. I've got no problem with that at all.
They spend 5% of GDP on defence.
Yeah, 300 attack helicopters.
We've been defanged, and you know, you had Luxon in the lead up to the election was asked, you know, would you do some of this infrastructure as a part of a Belt and Road initiative? He said, well, yes. And you know, before long, they're going to sort of propose some deal where, you know, saying, well, we're buying your dairy stuff. Why don't we do a trade where we'll send you a ship and just give you some infrastructure?
Why can't we build it ourselves?
Remember that all this crap of this world politics just going off in these wars, all of this is the result of a stolen election in America in 2020.
Yeah.
None of this would have happened.
I agree with you.
That had to happen first. So this is why, you know, Trump has to win the 2024 election, because imagine how bad this is going to get if they steal another election and you know they're going to try.
Yeah. Imagine how committed they are to him not winning.
Absolutely. And, you know,
very committed, trumped up charges. Just, you know, they're accusing Trump of paying hush money to try and hide that for the 2016 election. But the hush money was paid in 2017. But somehow we're going to shoehorn that into federal charges in New York.
The lawyer who represented Stormy Daniels, what's his name? Begins with A.
Avenatti.
He's turned as well.
He's turned, right. Well, didn't he go to prison?
Yeah, yes. But he's turned. He's now pro-Trump. He's saying this is all crap. Yeah. This never happened.
Stormy Daniels, I have to say this in Roseanne Barr language, but she's a lying hoe. And she has made so much money off this claim that she had this affair. And, you know, all you've got to think about is that,
without having to shoot another movie.
Yeah,
well, Trump's lawyers and social media were reading.
Hang on, Cam, you're overriding me. I wager she made the whole thing up. Trump is married to the most beautiful woman in the universe.
Apparently,
Melania.
They're not in the same room, though.
Oh, of course they are. Why would he try to drive a shoddy little Prius when he's got a Rolls Royce parked in the garage?
He's trying to explain to us what it's like to have a dick, Olivia. Okay.
maybe we can move on to that.
But here's the thing, right?
Come on.
Stormy Daniels has made something like 8 or 9 public statements that this never happened.
Yeah.
Right? And they're all being read out now. So you're saying it did happen, but hang on, in 2008 you said this. In 2011, you said this. In 2012, you said this. In 2017, you said this. In 2018, you said that. Are you telling the truth? And she goes, oh, no, I made all of that up because I was scared. Well, are you making this up now? That's where it's all heading. It's farcical. But, hey, it's New York. It's full of Democrats. The judge is bent as. Who knows what can happen?
I'm just trying to imagine how it would have been with the previous foreign minister making these speeches that Winston has made.
Did she ever make any speeches?
Well, that's what I'm wondering.
And would we have understood them?
I mean, do you think there were, I know we're going off a bit on the core thing, but do you think that was damaging to our foreign relations, having that woman in that job?
Oh, but she...
Naya Mahuta.
Naya Mahuta. The lady who put the mayo in Maori.
Because I didn't think it was a very good look. I mean, respect to her, but, you know, you need a certain look, certain gravitas, you know.
Well, this is
like
where
Winston, and that wasn't there with her.
No, it wasn't there. Look, I mean, she had written all over her face that she represented Maori, not New Zealand.
But she could hardly walk.
Mm.
Well, she wore sneakers.
It was on brand, wasn't it, for what they were doing? And you know, just to quote, Winston again, you know, they're taking their security responsibilities as seriously as Labor once did. They really were part of, you know, into dissolving New Zealand into this international order. So,
yeah, but it goes back a long way, the decline of our defence. That's the thing with Winston Peters, is he recognises that defence goes hand in hand with foreign policy, hand in hand, and he's sitting there looking at the degradation of the New Zealand.
We don't have any defence. It's a joke.
You know, planes that don't work. You know,
ships with holes in them.
Equipment that was bought by Alan Clark that's never been used.
Soldiers who could have blood clotting or heart attacks anytime they exert themselves.
Yeah, this is why, to what you brought up before, Paul, we're better off sticking with our traditional allies that are in the Anglosphere, like America. I know they're very corrupted at the moment, and I know it's all out of hand, but that's a result of the stolen election. But if Trump gets back in, they will be a great ally for us.
Ironically, it'll blow the heads apart of most of the normies in the country if that happens, but okay.
Oh well.
Such is life. Let's move on because time is against us. Any quick comments on what Winston said, that off-the-cuff, top-of-the-head line on the woman comment to
classic Winston Peters, you know, there's Luxon.
Do you think he was just waiting for that opportunity, or he would have just had that off the top of the head?
He would have been just sitting there and thought, you know, listening to the line of questioning from Chris Hipkins going on about the pay gap between men and women, and going on and on. The government has been in for 6 months. For 6 months, they've been in power, and he's moaning about the pay gap and what is Luxon going to do about it. And Luxon stupidly sits there and goes, "Oh, well, we're going to try and do better." And that's when Winston piped up and he said, "Well, we're talking about a pay gap, gender pay gap between men and women, and it's a bit rich of the other member who can't even define a woman to be asking questions about this." And then sat down. It's like, boom, there you go. That's how you put Chris Hipkins. That's how you put Chris Hipkins in his place.
Absolutely.
He's sitting there like a little boy wearing his dad's suit, catching flies, as Winston just smacked him around the chops.
And those responses from Luxon, there is debate about this pay gap and whether it's real or not. It's like he completely believes there is.
He's woke as hell. He's wetter than an otter's pocket.
It's been debunked for 30 years.
I think professionally, women are getting paid better than men now, actually.
Yeah, they do. Women in their 30s get paid better than men.
Yeah.
And they're given more opportunity as well. They're part of the diversity, equity, inclusion quotas, aren't they?
All right, look, we've maxed out on time. I know there were a few other things you wanted to get to. Maybe we can get to them some other time. The time has flown. It's good to be back. I want to thank Cam Slater, Olivia Pearson, and Marty Gibson for being on our political panel this week. Thank you, folks.
Thanks, fellas.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Awesome.
We'll do it all again next Friday. We'll see you.
Okay, have a great week.
With your help, we can continue to fight for freedom. This is not possible without your generosity. Join our quest for the truth and our freedom by simply visiting www.realitycheck.radio/donate to make a difference today.